Bob Bertog, do you have an answer to that? Do you have a sports specialty plate, sir?
I think people have the White Sox plates so people feel sorry for them, maybe. I don't know. I can't answer why there'd be so many White Sox plates.
And you call yourself a landscape expert?
I'm a Cubs fan. We like the grass is green in Wrigley.
The vines, too. I can get that kind of a vine, right? I can ask for what that vine is, right?
Yep, it's Boston Ivy.
Oh, just that simple. Boston Ivy, go to a store and that'll grow?
And it'll grow like crazy, too, yep.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be pretty healthy and you know, strong, doesn't it?
If you've ever been down on Wrigley, I've had the opportunity to do that. Those vines are actually almost a foot thick. They've been there so many years.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the ball gets stuck in there sometimes. I mean, yeah, there is something to them. Okay, so Bob Bertog is here from the Bertog Landscape Company, and while we did not think we would be asking him to come on with some regularity this early in the season, look outside. So let's ask Bob some questions. You ready, sir?
Yes, go ahead, John.
Can I use Milorganite to fertilize yews and arborvitae? If yes, how much should I use, says Pat.
Well, I know we talk about Milorganite every week, but they've actually manufactured it as an organic turf fertilizer, but it's not going to hurt to put it around your shrubs and trees and shrubs and ground cover and perennials. But as far as the amount of the size of the plants, sometimes I would tell you to inject a fertilizer, like with the Ross root feeder or something, because it's going to get down in the root zone. If you're just going to spread Milorganite around the surface of the plant, sure, some of the surface roots will take it up, but for the most part, it's going to take a lot for that to get down into the root zone. So I would, it's great for the perennials and the annuals and the grass, but for talking more like trees and arborvitae and stuff, I would say get yourself a root feeder where they have those, tablets you can put in the capsules, and then the water breaks it down and puts it into the root zone.
Do you like those bags around the trees that do the slow watering?
Absolutely. Those are great if there's a drought, and we use them all the time when we plant new trees because even though the client says, I'll keep it watered, they don't. So it's kind of a slow drip into the root zone. You got to fill it every couple of days. Those things work great.
Yeah, but they look ugly. Well, I don't know how ugly they
look. They do.
It's not that pretty.
No, but you got to put up with it for a year, and then once the roots get established, then you can take them down.
How can I fill in low spots in my sodded lawn?
Well, you can either cut the grass out that's there and put in topsoil and then level it out, or if it's like you're going to end up putting 3-4 inches on, you can put it right over the existing turf and then just cut out the edges if you're going to resod it, or if you're just going to seed it, you can go ahead and just feather it into the existing turf and then put your grass seed on and rake it in.
I got a spot like that in my yard, Bob, and I thought, I'll just have a bunch of dirt dumped there. I'll rake it right over the top of the turf, and I think it'll die out, and I'll just put some grass seed or new turf on top. Do you think that other grass on the bottom will eventually work its way through, or what is your thought about that?
Well, if you're only going to put in a half an inch to an inch of top dressing mix, yes, the existing turf will find its way back through that soil. But I'm talking about if you're going to cover if you're only going to cover like an inch, then maybe remove what's there, because otherwise you're going to create the interface where it's going to act like the roots can't get through that, because that grass will die underneath there. But if it's 3 or 4 inches below, it's 3 or 4 inches below grade, it's fine. It'll just, it'll disintegrate and deteriorate below grade.
And there'll be enough new soil on top for the new seed or turf to take hold, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. My boxwoods are very yellow, so I'm sure I need fertilizer. I'll do a soil test, but when should I fertilize and prune back my boxwoods?
Well, at this point, I would wait to prune the boxwoods until the flush of spring growth has come out. Boxwoods typically in the wintertime, this past winter, we did have a lot of wind. If you didn't treat them with an anti-desiccant, they are yellow right now. They should bounce back once the juices start flowing. They should be fine.
Can I do dormant lawn seeding?
No, you missed that window, because now if you put grass seed down now with the warm temperatures they're talking about next week, that seed will germinate. But if you look at the 30-day forecast, some of the temperatures at nighttime are still going to go below freezing, in which case, if the seed has just germinated and you get a freeze, the odds are good that those seedlings aren't going to survive that. So at this point, I'd wait until April, end of April, to do some normal seeding.
Talking to Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. As always, lots of calls for Bob. You ready for more, Mr. Bertog?
Sure, John. Let's do it.
Should I trim my clematis now? How much?
Well, clematis can get pretty wild, but what I like to do is cut out some of the old thicker canes where they look all gnarly. I mean, you can cut those all the way back to the base, but keep in mind when you do cut those, it's very similar to when you cut your ornamentals. You're going to be sacrificing some of the buds that are going to flower this season. But every 3 years or so, yeah, it's good to clean up clematis.
Is it too early to start trying to get rid of those purple weed things?
I'm guessing they're talking about Creeping Charlie. And
well,
yes,
every now and then across the lawn, you will see these little things that grow up, and they've got pretty little purple flowers on them.
Oh, it could be Allium. It could be Crocus that are coming up now, which are purposely planted. Those are ones that people want to plant. And you see a lot of people plant Crocus in their turf, because by the time you go to mow the grass, they've already died back into the bulb, and they'll come back next year.
What about the Creeping Charlie?
Creeping Charlie hasn't started really becoming active yet. Once the soil temperatures get into the 50s, that's when the weeds will really start to take off. And the best time to go after Creeping Charlie is you'll see the purplish-bluish flower. And then that's when you want to hit it with the herbicide.
You understand people's desire with the warm weather now to get ahead of this, but there's no point in doing it now, huh?
No, because if a plant is flowering, it means its roots are active. I have not seen any Creeping Charlie doing anything yet. So if they're seeing stuff flowering, it's not Creeping Charlie.
This is Diane. You've got a question for Bob Bertog. Hi, Diane. What can we do for you?
Hi, how are you? We're going to be cutting a mulberry tree down to the ground next week. Is there something we can pour on a stump to kill it?
There are herbicides. Mulberry is kind of like a buckthorn. It just keeps finding its way back. There's an oil-based herbicide. I don't know what it's called today, but there was a product called Tahoe. And you can treat it with that, and what it does is the oil gets into the roots, and it also prevents it from getting oxygen into the roots where it can create new shoots, and then the tree will eventually die. You just have to keep knocking it back with this herbicide.
Okay, so your search is for an oil-based herbicide. It used to be called Tahoe. All right,
correct.
Diane, good luck to you. How about Glenn? You're on WGN. What's your question, Glenn?
I have 5 fruit trees in my yard. And I like to know, have they really grown way up? They were midgets. Can I prune them now, or do I have to wait? Or should I prune them already?
Well, you can prune them for structure in the wintertime. But if anything that's overgrown or out of control, you can prune it any time you want. It's just every time with special – and fruit trees now, they flower, and that's what's going to create the fruit because – the pollinate. And so anytime you're pruning this time of year, though, you are cutting off buds that are potential flowers and or fruit.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. You got a decision to make then.
Yep.
What about this? Hey, Bob, is it okay to use the rototiller in the garden beds yet?
You can. It's certainly not going to hurt to get the oxygen and the air mixed in with the soil to get things moving, the micronutrients and everything. But if you're not going to plant for a while, I would do it now, like haphazardly, just in big chunks, but then you're going to do a finer till when it's time to plant in May.
Folks are anxious to get out there. This is Ron.
Yeah.
You're on WGN. Go ahead, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, when can I start trimming my rose bushes, and how far down should I cut?
You can start trimming them now. I don't think you're going to see any more hard freeze that would stop the flow of the juices in the roses. And you could cut it back to the live tissue. And you could tell the dead tissue is like a grayish brown. And the live tissue, well, actually, you could just take your fingernail and scratch it. And if it's green underneath, that's the live tissue.
Right.
It's pretty easy to distinguish between the two.
But if you want to trim it for aesthetics, that is, you want to shape it or just cut it back, are you going to do much harm to the plant if you also cut into the green?
No, you're not going to harm the plant. But again, anytime you're cutting live tissue, you're potentially cutting off buds.
Okay, to fertilize the grass now, Bob?
I'd still wait on that because the first application of your turf fertilizer usually includes a pre-emergent crabgrass control. And if we do get any, like, the spring rains that we traditionally get, it's going to flush that herbicide through the root zone, and it's not going to do anything. It's not going to have any effect on the crabgrass because crabgrass hasn't germinated yet.
I'm going to answer the next one, okay, Bob?
Okay.
Hey, Bob, Can I plant a snowball bush that I bought at Walmart now, or when? Thank you. Will 815. Our advice is, if it's in a pot, the plant likes it being in the dirt more than being in a pot. What do you think, Bob?
100%. Prefers to be in the ground than in a pot.
So even though you don't expect much to happen now, or even though it might get cold again, it's going to get cold again if it's in a pot. Put it in the earth.
Put it in the earth, correct.
Put it in the earth. What about Joel? You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. What can we do for you, Joel?
Hey, Bob. Hey, I got a question for you. Many years ago, I bought some garlic cloves to grow some garlic. Since then, you know, I had a few smaller garlic bulbs, but since then, each plant that came up seeded. And right now, I've got hundreds and hundreds of these small little starter garlics. What's the best way to plant those? And right now, they're dug up, but I want to see if I can get some decent garlic this year.
What I would do, since garlic is such a prolific seeder and it takes over, it's like, it becomes a nuisance. So what I tell people to do is something like that. Plant it in a container, because that way at least it's contained. It's not going to spread and continue to take over areas. So if you do it in a container or a raised garden bed or something, that way you can kind of have better control over it.
All right, that's one way to handle that. Joel, good luck to you. Please ask Bob to recommend medium-sized bushes for space facing south other than boxwoods.
Well, it depends what they're trying to accomplish. Are they trying to accomplish, do they want color? Do they want spring color? Do they want privacy?
I don't know, Bob. That's a question I just read to you on the radio.
There's so many choices. I mean, you can go to the Botanic Garden and walk out any garden that faces south, and all the plants are labeled.
Well, let's assume that they're pretty, and I don't care if they have flowers. Give me a name of a kind of bush that you think, other than boxwoods. I think we all know where you like to line your boxwoods up, but what else would be something suitable in size, if nothing else?
Well, again, if you're just trying to create a hedge, people love hydrangea. They're nice and soft and create a nice path to like an entryway. Those do well. But again, I don't know if they're looking to do something for winter interest as well, because the hydrangea flower on new wood, so you'd cut those down every spring. The best thing to do is drive around, take pictures, go to the botanic gardens, get some ideas, and then you can either call back into the show and say you saw something you liked and here's what it's called, and then we can talk about whether or not it's suitable for the area. But I just tell you what I like, and I like boxwoods, so that's not what they're looking for.
Evidently. It's 127. Okay, sir. Rain throughout Chicagoland right now. Some of it might be severe. We're going to do the news and weather now, and we'll call on you probably next week, Mr. Bertog.
Sounds good, John. Have a great week.
Bob Bertog is the president of the Bertog Landscape Company.